good, bad, or best? It's on. Okay. Super. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. Now I got to put the tape back on so it doesn't go wiggling in my mouth here. All right. So we're talking about Daniel and his three friends, and they have their culture totally shift on them. What do I mean it was totally shifted on them? They were taken and put into captivity. A foreign nation, Babylon, comes and takes them out of their home, out of their suburbia, out of their nation, and takes them to a foreign nation. I would say, raise your hand if that's a shift. Yeah, that was a shift, okay? And these guys were what we call children of Israel. The children of Israel. They were actually God-fearing people. They believed in God. They didn't know about Jesus. I'd like to believe that they believed in the one who was to come. We already have the one to come. But back then, they just believed in God. And if they were really good little Jewish boys, they were believing in the one to come. So these guys were followers of God. They were believers of God Almighty. All right, so that's a little bit of background on them. And then this nation comes and steals them, takes them, just takes them to Babylon. And they totally disrespect them. They disrespect them. They disrespect them by their beliefs, their religion. To them, their religion is just a big pile of poo. All right. It didn't mean anything. Things that were special and holy and valued and how they lived their life. This nation, Babylon, was like, whatever. All right. But they did even worse. They disrespected the God of these guys. All right. So we're going to talk about what to do when the culture shifts. Okay. And how many of you know it is shifting every year? It is shifting. The culture out there is shifting. I think about 40 years ago when I went to high school, I was like, oh my gosh, that was college. So anyway, I think about how it's changed from then to now. It's drastically shifted. How many of you think it's shifted? Changed, shifted, all right? And the statistics say, or studies say, that it used to be, it would take 15 to 20 years for the world to start changing in a direction, or the culture to just shift in a direction. It would take 15 or 20 years. Now they say it takes about a year. It can take a year for something to go whoosh, just totally change. And now just kick, you know, think about some things in your life and the people and whatever, you know. It's fast. So these guys had the same thing going on in the book of Daniel. Okay, so we're going to open up your Bibles to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Praise the Lord. What we're going to talk about is what culture is trying to do to you in the shift. What culture is trying to do to you, a believer, a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God. What culture is trying to do to you in the middle of this shift? Because guys, it's shifting. It's shift, 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 shift. It's shifting. Okay. So what we're going to find out what to do, because culture's doing something. It's doing something. Okay. It is doing something to the way people live their life, how they be. It is doing something, and it's trying to influence you, trying to influence you. And if you are not influencing the culture in the shift, you're downstream, right? You're downstream. And we've seen it. So this will end with a merry, merry, ho, 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 and a happy, happy. But right now, you can just toss out an amen, just smile once in a while, so I don't feel like, oh, Jesus, help me. Okay. So what culture is doing, and they're saying, hey, this is the culture. You do what I'm doing because I'm telling you that's the thing to do. You do what I'm telling you to do because that's the thing to do. And Daniel and his buddies had the same thing going on. Okay, this is not new. This is not the first woohoo that's, rodeo ride. So y'all at Daniel chapter 1? Okay. I love these names. I'm liable to butcher them. I even tried pressing where they say their name. You know, talk to it. So I'm going to probably butcher these names, but here we go. Daniel chapter 1. The third year of King Jehoiakim, whatever, the king that reigned in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar, came to Jerusalem and beat it. That's the takeover. That's the capture, right? The Lord. objects from the temple of God. So Nebuchadnezzar took them to the land of Babylon, and placed them in the treasure house of his god. Ooh, that's bad. Then the king ordered Ashpenazah, his chief of staff, to bring to his palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family. Do you see that? And other noble families who have been brought to Babylon as captives. Okay, we're talking about Daniel and his three guys. We're talking about them, right? Select only the strong. Select only the strong, the healthy, the good-looking young guys, he said. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning and are gifted with knowledge and good judgment and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. A little bit of shift going on here, right? Pretty drastic. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years, and then they would enter into the royal service. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah were four of the young men chosen from the tribe of Judah. So they were taken out of Israel, and the chief staff. Okay, I'm not going to do that part. All right. So we got a culture shift going on. I read all that to say what's happening. These guys are now taken out of their culture into another culture. All right. They're taken out of there and they are to be trained in this another culture. They're going to get trained like fooey on your old stuff. I'm going to train you how to do it my way, my language, my literature, everything we do. Okay. So that's a big, big woo. Okay. Now, according to the Bible, you know this. I'm on the earth. You're on the earth. But when I ask Jesus into my life, I'm really from another planet. I'm really from another kingdom, right? I was translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. I'm really from the heavenly kingdom, right? Any of you on a heavenly kingdom? Okay. Now, you know, basically I'm kind of walking through life in this kingdom. I'm kind of walking through this earth, but I want to remember, I want to keep my eyes focused on the things above. I want to keep my focus on the kingdom of God, right? So amen, you better. So what happens is if you don't keep your eyes focused on the kingdom you came out of, you're going to forget who you are, where you came from, what you are. You're going to forget your God. So all of this is going down on Daniel and his three friends, okay? But somehow these guys stay connected with their God, the kingdom of God. If they can do it, we can do it. So we're going to talk about Daniel and his three friends. Here we go. Let me see what else. Here we go. What do we got? I've got notes and I was like, I better do notes today. Let's look at Daniel 1:7. This is interesting. Daniel 1:7. So we've got Daniel and they list his three friends. And then it says the chief of staff renamed them. Renamed them. I like my name. What do you mean you renamed me? Well, that's what he said. The chief of staff renamed them with these Babylon names. Ready? Daniel was called Belshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach. Mishael was called Meshach. And Azariah was called Abednego. Okay. How many of you grew up in church knowing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I remember those names. I didn't remember the other names, but I remember those names. All right. Now, the interesting thing is those boys, their mamas gave them their name because they were little Jewish boys and they picked out names that meant something. Though their mamas gave them Daniel and Hananiah and whatever. They gave them these names on purpose. They gave them those names on purpose. All right. Now, Praise the Lord. They gave them on purpose. But now they've been taken into captivity. They've been thrown into another culture, into another kingdom. And these guys changed their names. And we're going to talk about this name change because it is like that slippery, ugly, stinky thing that we've got to watch out for. All right. So today, if you're taking notes, you're going to write this down. If you're taking notes, write this down. When the culture shifts, when the culture that we live in starts to shift, it's going to try to, number one, rename you. It's going to try to rename you, okay? has anybody ever, no, not you, y'all are wonderful parents, but you ever hear somebody yell, "You're just such a stupid idiot, you're going to amount to nothing." I had a friend, but her little boy had learning disability. She really struggled to read, and it wasn't until he got to second grade that they got some help. But his dad would just go, "You're so stupid, you're so stupid." I want to go, "Dad, you're stupid," right? Okay. But the problem with that is when somebody's saying those words, you start to believe it. You start to believe that. So that's not a good name, is it? "You're so stupid," right? That's not a good name. So what's that have to do with us? The culture we're living in is going to try to rename us. Rename us. And if you don't understand that you're from another kingdom, you're going to go with that new name. You're just going to go whoosh, with a new name. All righty. So I got this quote. I just had fun looking up quotes that would just put meat onto this. It's actually by W.C. Fields. Okay, some old guy. But anyway, it says, "It ain't what they call you. It's what you answer to. It ain't what they call you names. But listen, go ahead. But it's what I answer to. I answer to, I'm a child of God. I'm blood washed. I'm the redeemed. I'm beautiful. I'm right." Okay. It's not what people call you. It's not what people call you. Okay. So think about some of the things you say over your kids, guys. Think about it. Now, do you want them to be some of those things? All right. How about you prophesying over your kids? "My kid is, you know," I love talking. This is so funny. I love talk to parents downstairs when I was teaching children's ministry, and they always want to move their kid to the next class before it's their time. Because we have, you stay in the nursery until your third birthday. But every mother, "But my child is so brilliant and so smart." Okay. All right. But you know what? You should be saying that. "My child is brilliant. He's got the mind of Christ. He's got the favor of God. My child is going to do da 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 da." Okay? Instead of, "Man, you're going to turn out like your uncle. He's in jail." Okay. All right. So let's go speak in what we want them to be. Now listen, I know there are times. Okay, my sister Teresa was in jail for a long time. Okay, and one of my kids, no names mentioned because he might hear this, but one of my kids is like acting like her. Okay, even though that kid of mine was acting like her, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you are just a smart, beautiful girl, righteous, godly, making wise choices, having excellent friends. Okay, I used to say that a lot for like about 3 years for this one kid. Okay, otherwise, what are you saying? And what happens is you start renaming them. And I don't like that name. Do you like that name? Okay. So praise the Lord. The culture will try to rename you. Praise the Lord. Now let's talk about these names. When I grew up, my mom didn't have the book with how many names in it? 500 names. Yeah. Or the top 30 girls' names in 2018. My mom didn't have that. All right. I got the name Davida because I was named after my grandmother, who was named after an uncle who must have been named after somebody. And all my siblings, my mom didn't have the book. Matter of fact, we recycle names. I looked at the family tree. There's six names and somebody got them at some point in time. You got a first name, last name, middle name. We've got more Johns and Davids and Marianne's and Catherine's. And God bless you if you got Agnes. Oh man, I was like, shh. That's on the family tree. Thank you, Jesus. Davida looks wonderful. My sister Teresa is Teresa Agnes. I was like, ha. Okay. Okay. So some of you, how many of you went to the baby book and looked up the name and then because you liked the meaning? Whoa. Go for it. We got one hand, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But listen, back then, those Jewish mamas, that Jewish family, they just didn't give you the name because it's the most, okay, I love that. I love that. Spell your name for the rest of your life. Now, they didn't just pick out a name because they liked the name. Those Jewish families picked out a name on purpose because it had meaning. It had meaning. All right. I remember looking up one person's name. I finally got hold of the book. This is after I had kids. No, I think I was looking for names for Cassie. But one of these names, I'm like, that's pitiful. I'm not naming my kid that. Because look what it means, all right? Okay, so let's go back to this. We have a culture, and these guys are in the Babylonian culture, and the Babylonian culture comes and renames these guys. All right, Daniel, you're writing down. Daniel means God is my judge. God is my, that's pretty good. God is my judge. I like that. All right. They changed his name to Belshazzar, and that means lady. What? They did him a girl name? Yeah. Okay. I'm like, listen, that culture did not respect these Israel boys, these little children of God. And they deliberately, purposefully would not respect who they were and gave them that name. All right. Okay. And listen, we live in a culture today that there's confusion all over with genders. He's and she's and she's in the other bathroom. What bathroom do I go to? And this in the locker room. Angie. Angie's my teacher. Huh? Yep. Okay. Talk to Angie. She teaches middle school gym. Okay. Locker rooms. Oy vey. Oh, Oy vey. Golly gee whiz. Hallelujah. Okay. So you shouldn't be saying, oh, I can't believe this is happening these days. It was going on back in Babylon, and it was purposeful to confuse these guys, to disrespect who they were and to confuse them. All right. And we got it going. All righty. Now, this is me. This isn't the Bible, but I'm reading this and I'm going, you know what? Man, I don't see anything about Daniel, who they gave him a girl's name. Okay. I don't see him protesting. So everybody knows what I believe. I read this. I read this whole book twice. Okay. Isn't that interesting? And, you know, I was like, I'm going to protest the king because I don't like the name he called me. Daniel didn't do any of that. I know this is not Bible. This is me, but I just want to toss this at you. You know why? Because he knew who he was. He knew who he was. He knew his real name, and it didn't matter what you call him. Write that down. That's a good one to think on at night. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what people say about you. Come on, know who you are. Okay, that's the end of my message. So they changed Daniel's name, and it shifted from a man who was accountable to God to a she. But she wasn't a she. She was a he. She was Daniel. It's crazy. And that's what the culture tries to confuse you and shift you off of what you really believe. All right, second guy, Hananiah. Hananiah means Yahweh has been gracious. God's been gracious. God's favor. Oh, I love that. I love that. God is gracious. Woo, okay. Guess what they flipped his name to? Okay. His name is Shadrach. Means I am fearful of God. I fear God. Man, listen. We got the same thing going on in churches sometimes. Not this church, must be somebody else's church. But we try to tell you, you know, instead of God is good, we've got this thought that, you know, God is bad. God's not bad. Read your Bible. All right. But we got some of that from God is good to God is bad going on. Okay. Like the denomination that I grew up, if you did something and something bad, if you did, and something later on bad happened to you, said, well, God gotcha. God was after you. So that's why that bad thing happened. The bad thing happened to you because you did something bad. So now I think God is bad. No, read your Bible. God is all the, I know. Okay. But back in that Babylon time, instead of saying God is good, they tried shifting, and we got it going on in this culture that God is bad. God does bad things, okay? And I know some of you have grown up in that mentality. Really what was going on, it was a spiritual thing. It was an all-out assault on who you were. It's just trying to just slap you, smack you, shoot you down on who you really are. It was purposeful, okay? And guys, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and powers and all that stuff. It's a spiritual thing. So don't go fighting everybody and punching their lights out because they're being bad to you. It's a spiritual thing. You go at it through prayer and the authority that you have. Okay, I'm going to get ahead of myself. All right. Praise the Lord. Number three, Mishael. I see S-H-A-E-L. Okay. His Hebrew name means who can compare to my God? man, I just hear love. I'm just laying there. I'm going, oh, who can compare to my God? My God's awesome. Oh. Okay, so that's his Hebrew name. And you know what name they give him, this Babylon name? It's Meshach. It means I am despised. I am contemptible. I am humiliated. About a shift. Right? That's a shift, all right? And listen, what happened is before, I can stand in the presence of God. I'm a child of God. I'm the righteousness of God until I'm humiliated. I'm despised. I'm pitiful. Did you see the shift? Night and day, all right? Praise the Lord. And I hear this sometimes the way people pray, but not you guys, it's other people, because you guys read your Bible, you're being renewed in your mind, but I hear people say, you know, they go to God in prayer and they go, God, I just love you, but, you know, I want to ask you for a few things, but God, I'm so worthless. Oh, Lord, you know, I just feel bad. But if I feel bad, then you'll probably like me more. That is the goofiest thing. That is so dumb. But I've listened to people's prayers. God, I just feel so worthless. I don't know if I should ask you. So if I feel bad, maybe you'll love me. No, you're a child of God. He made you his child. He made you glorious. He made you, oh, golly gee whiz, I could just exasperate myself. He made you righteous. He made you beautiful. He made you a new creature. Why would he want you coming? God, I feel so bad. Will you just answer my prayers? That's dumb. Okay? Don't do that. Pastor D will get silly on you. Okay, last one. Azariah. His Jewish name, his Hebrew name is God has helped. Has God helped anybody here? Anybody call on him for help you all the time? He's like, go, you know, I used to say, well, later on I go, oh, I guess we should pray. I guess we should pray. Now I'm like, let's just pray. I go to him all the time. He's my helper. He's my deliverer. He's my strong tower. He's just great. Okay, so that was his Hebrew name. And listen to the disgusting, listen to this. They changed his name to Abednego. What does Abednego mean? So I looked it all up. Okay, Abednego means servant of Nebo. Servant of Nebo. What? Who's Nebo? Okay, but listen to the switch. This is talking about before. He was an heir in the kingdom of God, and now they switch it to, you're the servant. Do this, do that. You're only a servant. There was a shift going on with these guys. And Babylonians, they knew what the heck they were doing. They were trying to confuse them and pull them out of who they were and the kingdom that they rightfully deserve. Okay? So, all of them, they're trying to do all of this. Okay? And you know, I want to confuse you from God is good to God is bad. I want to confuse you from God helps you to God. Oh, I should feel so bad because if I'm bad, then it's just stupid. Okay? All right? So, the problem with that confusion, the problem with the name change, the problem with all of that is it gets you confused on who you are. And when you don't know who you are in this world, and if they didn't know who they were in that kingdom, guess what? You get sucked into being influenced by the culture. It will influence you because you don't know who you are, right? All right, listen, I do know who I am. I am saved. I am a daughter. I am an heir of the Most High God. I have right standing with God. I love that song. Where was that song? The second to last song. Ever be on my praise. I just can't help but praise him because who God made me. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have a friend, got her master's probably about, oh my gosh, years ago. And every once in a while we get on the phone, we start talking, and I'll just kind of share. I was like, what are you doing? She tells me, and then she asked me, Dee, what are you preaching on? And I said, well, I'm doing this whole series on this and that. And she has her master's in psychology. She's a Christian master's in psychology. Okay. She's got this. And she says, this is what we are pounding into the people that come to us all the time. Pounding into them because the culture has shifted and the culture is just eating them up. And she says, this is what we have to pound into them. Pound into them, pound to them. And I'm going to read it so I don't muff it up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Lost my thing. You will have thoughts and feelings. Anybody have thoughts and feelings today before you got here? Okay. that sometimes they are opposite of what God says you are and what he says you're to be. All right. And when you have those thoughts and feelings, don't let them lead you. Okay. I was like, oh, I say that all the time to people. Okay. Okay. It doesn't, those thoughts, those feelings doesn't mean that's who you are. I'm so depressed. I must have depression. I'm so, oh gosh, nobody's called me in 24 hours. So I'm so lonely. Oh, okay, I can go on. Ready? Don't identify with your feelings. So I was laughing. We were on the phone screaming at each other, like get a little excited, get a little loud. That's why I thought, I don't need this microphone. Okay, so, but I was like, are you kidding me? She says, that's what we pound in people all the time. All right, so don't identify with your feelings. Sometimes those feelings line up with the, well, no, the good ones. Mark, good one. Sometimes your feelings are going to line up with this. Go run for it. Okay? That's awesome. But your thoughts and your feelings are not what you identify. You identify with what God says about you. Amen? I'm a child of God. I've been redeemed. I'm blood washed. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. Ugh. Okay? Is that, oh, nobody called me. I feel so lonely. Nobody likes me. That's baloney. Praise the Lord. All right, when the culture shifts, when the culture changes, number one, it's going to try to rename you. Number two, write this down, it's going to try to tame you. What? It's going to try to tame followers from not doing what you really are. It's going to try to tame you. Okay, Pastor D, what do you mean try to tame you? Okay, do you know that we have all wisdom and all knowledge given to us? Come on, guys, say it. Okay, that's what, so we should be at the forefront of everything. We should be the forefront of when it comes to technology, when it comes to everything, okay? All right. And listen, there's change. There's change coming along, all righty? But, all right, okay, Pastor D, take a breath. I think I need a drink. Hallelujah. Man, I am sweating. Really? Okay. I will tell you, Christians that know their God, know who they are, they're not shutting up. I'm telling you, you read, they're breaking out, they're bursting forth in the forefront. But the culture shift is trying to tame you. All right, Daniel chapter 1, verse 11. I lost my page here. I'm so hot. Jeez. You are lucky I just don't shoot ice cubes all over this place. I say, oh my gosh. Here we go. Praise God. Notice what happens in Daniel chapter 1, verse 11 through 14. Composure. Daniel spoke with the attendant who had been appointed by the chief of staff to look after Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And he said, please test us. Underline that. Please test us for 10 days on the diet of vegetables and water. Daniel said, at the end of 10 days, see how we compare to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then make your decision in light of what you see. The attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion and tested them for 10 days. Okay. The culture is going to try to tame you. And the way the culture tries to tame you is by testing you. Okay, it tries to test you, all righty? So, and lots of people, not this bunch here, lots of people when they're tested, when they have hard times, it's difficult times, they start pulling back. And you get sucked into the culture shift, all right? Now, I see this happen, oh my gosh, don't raise your hand if it happens to somebody, okay? Don't point to anybody. You know somebody that's going through a hard time, a test? It's their test. All right, they're tests and they're hard times, they're storms, whatever word you like to say. And guess what happens right away? What? Guess what happens? They start pulling back. They pull back from God. They pull back and don't go to church anymore. They don't go to their grow group anymore. They don't go hang out with their Christian friends anymore. They do anything that represents God, they pull back, okay? And they'll say, but I'm going through a hard time. Yeah, Bubba, you are, okay? And the culture is going to just suck you back. But guess what? You got to make a decision ahead of time. I'm not going to get sucked. I'm not going to get tamed. Praise the Lord. And you know what, guys? Let me tell you this. You need to decide today. Everybody say today. You need to decide today before the time. I will not draw back. I will believe what God says regardless of what poop hits the fan. Okay. And listen, I've had hit the fan. But you have to make a decision. This is what God says I am. This is what I'm going to believe. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how bad it is. You have to make a decision before. Amen. Praise God. I'm choosing God. Hallelujah. So if you're taking notes, the culture you live in is trying to rename you, tame you. Praise the Lord. What kind of sparked me is a couple months ago, I read a book by Chris Hodges. I'll tell you about it later. And this is his quote from it. We need to get our world view from the word view. Okay. I've talked to people and I'm like, what kind of baloney are you telling me? Because they have been in the culture and they are getting sucked in the shift and they're believing everything the world says. Like I need a different color bathroom because whatever. Just gee whiz. Okay. How many of you know our college and universities, unless you go to a Christian one, okay, they're just absolutely going to challenge you on everything you learn in this place. Everything your mama taught you, everything you've read in your Bible, they are going to challenge you. God's not real, creation goofy. They're just going to challenge you on everything to try to tame you, right? All right, pray, not good. All righty. So what do you do? I'm going to decide before I go that I know who I believe. I know that Jesus died for me. I know that he was raised and he seated me in the heavenly places. And I'm a daughter of the Most High God. And I know that. And you are not going to tame me. Now send your kids off send your kids to Hell University. Okay, that's okay. Because they're a light and they're a salt and they know who they are. Praise the Lord. All right. So when the culture shifts, it's going to try to rename you. It's going to try to tame you. And number three, claim you. Okay. How many of you have run into somebody they haven't seen in years and you'll ask them, you got this little conversation going on and, you know, they find out that you're a believer, you're a follower of Jesus. And they say, oh, I used to be a Christian, but you know, I don't do that anymore. I've completely given that up. Anybody ever hear that out of somebody? Oh, you should run with the pack I run. Yeah, I hear that so many times. People that I knew 20 years ago in this place, 30 years ago in this place, say, I used to be a Christian, okay? But I just kind of completely got away from that. You know what that tells me? The world has claimed them. The world has claimed them, okay? But you know, I got good news. And they might not know this good news. You may have completely walked away. God never walks away from you. Come on. He's there. He doesn't move. He doesn't sit down. He doesn't go on vacation. He doesn't say, I'm done with you. God doesn't move. God always loves them. And he's there. Goofy stuff. Okay. So I just read that scripture and it says, Daniel asked for a test. Now, when I was in school, I wasn't a great test taker. Anybody not really great at taking tests? Okay. Don't raise your hand. All right. Okay. And listen, even as a believer, a follower, I don't like taking tests because you know those tests. All right. I don't like taking tests. I really don't. I don't like taking tests. And you know, tests are like the challenges of life, the hard times. Anybody would go, God, give me a test of a hard thing in life. We're going to pray for you. Come on. I don't do that, all right? Well, praise the Lord. I don't need to ask God for a test. We live in a cursed world, and that just comes at you, okay? But let me tell you this. I know what to do in a test. Anybody know what to do in a test? In a hard, difficult time? What do? Keep your focus on God. Get morning, noon, and night. Get into the Word of God. Surround yourself with believers that are going to encourage you. I know what to do in a test. Turn off Netflix. Stop binging. I know what to do in a test. Do you know what to do in a test? So you can pass the test, right? All right. Challenges come to all of us. Challenges come to all of us. But we're going to do the right thing, right? And where's my... Is Betty here? Betty's downstairs. Okay. Betty was having a real test in a personal thing and a family member. And she called me once. Where's my friend Betty? Okay. She called me once, called me twice. And then I said, let's pray together. Okay. Because she was in a test. And man, she said, thank you, Pastor D. Not that I'm so amazing or anything like that. But it is, thank you for praying for me. Thank you for praying with me. I grabbed, where's Pam? And who else I grabbed? Miriam downstairs. I said, I need some agreement. Pray with me. I said, got in a hard time. All right, praise the Lord. Last one, praise the Lord. Last one, writing this down. Culture is going to try to change you. Culture is going to try to change you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Culture's kind of trying to change you. But verse 8, but Daniel was determined. Everybody say determined. I am determined I'm not eating that chocolate cake. I am determined I'm going to exercise. Can anybody know what that word means? All right. Stop laughing at me. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and the wine given to him by the king. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Okay, this is not just talking about food and wine, guys, okay? Okay, it's really talking about, are you going to let the culture influence you? Or are you going to influence the culture? So it's really simple. Are you going to let the culture influence you? Or are you going to follow what God says? And there's some days, I was like, pray for me. I need help so I can follow what God says. Okay. So no, we're not going to be changed. Amen. Ever say, I'm not going to be changed by the culture. I'm not going to be changed by the culture. I don't know about this. We started this church, 30 some years ago, Joe Hoff? We started in your living room. Okay. But if you were to come to church 30 years ago, it looked a lot different. Men wore suits and ties. And I wore dresses. Now I wear dresses twice a year, Christmas and Easter. That's it. Okay? There's a change. All right? And listen, you wearing your suit and tie. First off, make my heart beat. I love a man in a suit and tie because I'm that age. Okay? But that doesn't make you a Christian. That doesn't make you a better Christian because you're wearing a suit and tie and I'm wearing a dress. Okay? Has nothing to do with that. 30 years ago, the music style. What were some of those songs? Tambourines. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay. Tambourines. Okay. The music's changed. Vanessa say, thank God, sometimes. Some of it. Okay. All righty. So it's changed. But listen, things change. But that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about that thing here. Okay. I'm talking about the culture is going to try to get you to change and shift from being who God has called you to be, to live how God's called you to live, to act how God's called you to act, all right? That's what the culture is trying to do. Praise. Okay, last one. Here we go. I'm going to finish up. I think I am. Praise the Lord. I'm feeding you afterwards, so nobody has to rush out of here, right? Right, yeah. Put that coffee back on. Who's ever in charge, just plug it in right now. We're ready for it. Okay. So the culture is going to try to rename you, tame you, claim you, and change you. It's going to try to do all those things. Okay? It's going to try to influence you. And yet, what are we supposed to be? Influencers. What are you supposed to be? Influencers. What are you supposed to be? Influencers. Influence the people that you live in. Some of you influence the people in your house, your neighborhood, your job. You are supposed to be influencers. Praise the Lord. Now, but here's like this is the cherry on top of the Dairy Queen ice cream here. In order to do that, besides all those other things, you need to know who you are. And I've been saying that in and out of this. You need to know who you are. And it's not who your mama says you were. It's not who your dad says you were. It's not who some teacher said you were. You need to know who God says you are. If you're going to influence the culture that is, you know, totally bananas. what was good is bad. What was, it's just bananas out there. But so how do you do this? You have to know who you are. You have to know who God says you are. And you've listened to me just spit this out over and over. So praise the Lord. How many of you people have this book in Him? Get it out. Those of you that don't have it, go to the store, our bookstore and get one. That book is the easy book. Okay. This is called In Him, New Creation Realities, Who You Are. I don't care what your mama said. I don't care what your teacher said. I don't care what your neighborhood says about you. This will tell you who you are. And this book just takes it up a notch. E.W. Kenyon. If all my oldie but goodies probably know that. It's called New Creation Realities. You know what I like about E.W. Kenyon? He writes a chapter in 3 pages. I love it. 3 pages. I'm done the chapter, okay? And then I just for a week, all right? But they're called New Creation Realities. It's who you are. And where do you find new creation realities? Where do you find this who you really are? Well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospels. Actually, that's really part of the Old Covenant, even though it's not the Old Testament, okay? Because Jesus had not yet died and rose again. After that, we have the book of Acts, okay, and all the way through to Revelation. Those are called the epistles, and they are letters to you. Everybody say, I got a letter to me. They're letters to you, and they will tell you who you are now so you can influence the culture when it's shifting. All right, go get these. Just chew on this. And this, I think it says, thank you, Brother Hagen. There's 130 scriptures that tell you who you really are now that you're a believer. And you'll see it written in Jesus. Okay, it tells you who you are. All right. Okay, I'm just gonna forget the notes. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. When you get there, say amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many of you know that? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. That is the rock. That's the first rock that you stand on after you ask Jesus into your life. And it simply says, if you're a Christian, if you've asked Jesus into your life, you are new. Everybody say new. Oh, I like new. Everybody like a new car? A new house? Oh, man, I like new, all right? And I like new. Praise the Lord. When you receive Jesus, you are new. Yeah, but I don't look any different than you. And so what? Okay? I don't act any different. That's because you don't know who you are. Because when you start finding out who you are, the epistle's on, you'll start acting better because you're going to get your mind washed out. Right? And then you're like, oh, I cannot act like Jersey girls. Hey, because I'm new on the inside. If you didn't know what that is, so, geez, I have stories. Okay. All right. New. If you ask Jesus, I'm new. All right. I want to read it out of the Living Bible. When someone becomes new, he becomes brand new person on the inside. He's not the same anymore. I'm new. Everybody say I'm new. I'm new. All right. That is who you are. Praise the Lord. There is a culture out there, boys and girls, that is just slick. And unless you get yourself into finding out who you really are, you're going to believe it. You're going to believe, you know, I can't even say it. Okay. So let's pray. I'm going to do part 3 next week. I'm like, blah. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you. I thank you for everyone in this place. I thank you that you have deposited the truth, that they are not of the kingdom of the Babylon. They are not the kingdom of darkness. You have plucked them up and planted them into your kingdom, and that they know that they are new, that they are right. They are righteous with you. I thank you, Father, that they are hungering in knowing all that you have created them to be and all the power and the anointing in them to be an influencer of the culture. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. one more prayer. It's like, oh, I want to tell everybody it's my favorite prayer. Everybody just close your eyes. Stay with me for two more seconds here. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor D, you're talking about being in him and the kingdom over here and the kingdom over there. And I just want to ask you a question. Have you ever personally asked Jesus to come into your life? Because if you have not, it's time to come too. It's time to ask him to be in your life. It's time to say, Jesus, you know, I'm tired. This has been tough. Life is tough. The culture's tough. School's tough. My job's tough. And I just have no hope. Well, listen, there is one who is hope. His name is Jesus. And he said, if you would ask him to come into your life, he would save you. And it simply means whoever would call on his name, just say, Jesus, Jesus. Call on his name. Believe in your heart that he was the Son of God, that he died and he rose again to rescue. Just say, Jesus, I believe. I ask you into my life. I want to be your child. I want to be the light. I want to be the salt. I need you. So if there's anybody here, you'd raise your hand and you say, Pastor D, that's me. I'm done. I need Jesus. I need this family. I need your love. So anybody, just raise your hand. Everybody else, just eyes closed. Anybody? Praise God. Anybody? Okay. Well, church, family, y'all look good. You are an influencer. Stand up. Praise the Lord.